Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Insatiable Machine, How Capitalism Conquered the World by Trevor Jackson is a work of global economic history that examines how capitalism became the dominant system for organizing production, exchange, labor, empire, and daily life. Published by W.W. Norton. The book presents capitalism not as a timeless human default, but as a historically produced order that developed through contingent institutions, political choices, coercion, technological change, and imperial expansion. Jackson follows its rise from early modern monetary systems and banking practices through colonial extraction, slavery, fossil fuel industrialization, and 19th century imperial globalization. The purpose is not only to explain where capitalism came from, but also to challenge the assumption that its present form is inevitable. By linking financial innovation, empire, labor exploitation, consumption, and ecological pressure, the book positions capitalism as both a powerful engine of historical transformation and a system whose drive for accumulation collides with social and planetary limits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a historical construction rather than a natural condition. A central argument of the Insatiable Machine is that capitalism should be understood as a historical system with a beginning, not as the permanent background of human activity. Jackson places pressure on the common belief that markets, private accumulation, and competitive growth simply express human nature. And instead, he treats capitalism as the product of particular arrangements in money, credit, property, labor, state power, and global trade. This framing matters because it changes the question from whether capitalism is natural to how it was assembled and maintained. The book therefore emphasizes contingency. Different choices, institutions, and power relations could have produced different economic orders. By tracing capitalism from the early modern period to the First World War, Jackson shows that its expansion depended on historical events rather than a smooth evolutionary path. This approach also gives the book its political significance. If capitalism was made through human decisions and conflicts, then its current form is open to criticism and revision. The argument does not require denying the productivity or adaptability of capitalism. Instead, it asks readers to see those features as historically specific outcomes, not as proof that no alternative forms of economic life are possible. Secondly, money, banking, and credit as foundations of global capitalist expansion. Jackson gives substantial attention to the financial architecture that made capitalism scalable across regions and empires, rather than beginning with factories alone. The book traces how international monetary systems, banking practices, and credit networks enabled long-distance exchange and accumulation. This focus is important because capitalism required more than trade. It required instruments that could move value across space and time, coordinate risk, and turn expected future returns into present investment. Early modern monetary flows, commercial finance, and banking institutions helped connect mines, merchants, states, and imperial projects into a wider system. In this account, finance is not a secondary layer added after capitalism already existed. It is part of the mechanism by which capitalism became global. Credit allowed merchants and states to expand beyond immediate resources, while monetary systems gave distant transactions a common language of value. Jackson's emphasis on these institutions helps explain why capitalism spread unevenly but powerfully. Financial tools could link people who never met, convert local extraction into international wealth, and bind political authorities to commercial expansion. The result is a view of capitalism as an institutional machine, dependent on trust, coercion, law, and calculation as much as on production. Thirdly, slavery, colonial extraction, and imperial violence in the rise of capitalism, the book places coercion at the center of capitalist development rather than treating violence as an unfortunate side effect. Jackson's account includes Spanish conquest, mining labor, plantation slavery, and imperial expansion as integral to the making of global capitalism. This matters because histories of capitalism can sometimes emphasize innovation, entrepreneurship, and market exchange while underplaying the forced labor and extraction that supplied capital, commodities, and power. By highlighting the emergence of new forms of slavery in the 18th century, the book connects the growth of markets and consumption to systems of domination. Enslaved labor and colonial extraction helped produce commodities, wealth, and financial returns that entered European and global circuits. The point is not simply moral condemnation, although the moral stakes are clear. The analytical point is that capitalism expanded through relations that were often violently unequal and politically enforced. Empire opened territories, secured resources, and imposed commercial priorities on societies that did not choose them freely. This perspective complicates any clean separation between free markets and coercive power. Jackson shows that capitalist globalization depended on states, armies, legal regimes, and racialized labor systems, making violence part of the structure rather than an external exception. Fourthly, fossil fuel industrialization and the ecological limits of endless accumulation. The insatiable machine links the rise of capitalism to the energy transition that powered industrialization. Fossil fuels allowed production, transport, and consumption to expand at a scale that earlier organic economies could not sustain. Coal, steam, and later fossil-based systems intensified the capacity to manufacture goods, move commodities, and reorganize labor. Jackson's broader argument is that capitalism became especially powerful when its drive for accumulation joined with energy sources that seemed to release economic activity from older material limits. Yet the book also presents this as the source of a profound contradiction. An economy organized around continuous expansion and resource consumption exists on a finite planet. The environmental question is therefore not treated as a late modern problem detached from capitalism's history. It is connected to the system's basic logic of growth and extraction. By tracing capitalism from early global trade through fossil fuel industrialization, Jackson helps readers see climate and ecological pressures as historical outcomes, not accidental malfunctions. The same forces that generated wealth, infrastructure, and mass consumption also intensified dependence on resource depletion and planetary disruption. This makes the book relevant to debates about whether capitalist economies can adapt to ecological limits without changing their underlying priorities. Lastly, a global narrative that combines economic systems with concrete historical detail. One distinguishing feature of the book is its method of combining broad economic synthesis with memorable historical particulars. Jackson does not present capitalism only through abstract theory or national case studies. The narrative moves across regions, commodities, institutions, and empires. Using examples such as mining, banking, imperial trade, plantation systems, industrial fuel, and consumer goods to show how the system took shape. This global approach matters because capitalism did not emerge from one country or one invention. It grew through connections among Europe, the Americas, Asia, and colonial territories, often through unexpected chains of consequence. The book's attention to concrete details also helps explain mechanisms that might otherwise remain abstract. Banking becomes easier to understand when tied to trade and state finance. Imperialism becomes clearer when linked to resources, commodities, labor regimes, and military power. Industrialization becomes more than technological progress when connected to fossil energy and global demand. The result is an account designed for readers who want conceptual clarity without losing historical texture. Jackson's style, as described by reviewers, is readable but not simplistic, using anecdote to illuminate structure rather than to replace analysis. This balance helps the book stand between academic economic history and accessible public history. In conclusion, The Insatiable Machine is best suited to readers interested in the history of capitalism, global history, political economy, empire, labor, and environmental crisis. It would be especially useful for readers who want an accessible synthesis that does not reduce capitalism to either market freedom or industrial technology alone. The book offers intellectual benefits by clarifying how money, credit, slavery, colonial extraction, fossil fuels, and imperial power became linked in a single expanding system. It also gives readers a framework for thinking about present debates over inequality, ecological limits, and economic alternatives without treating the current order as inevitable. Compared with many books in the capitalism history genre, its distinguishing feature is the combination of compact scope, global range, and explicit attention to contingency. It does not appear to offer a narrow national history, a technical economics manual, or a purely ideological critique. Instead, it places capitalism within a long historical process shaped by institutions, violence, energy, and empire. That makes it valuable for general readers who want a clear entry point, and for informed readers who want a concise synthesis of a large field. Its strongest contribution is showing how capitalism became dominant, while keeping open the question of how human societies might organize economic life differently. If you would like to support Trevor Jackson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.